Hello, welcome to our podcast. So now you want a baby? I'm Nicole.
I'm Brian.
Where do we begin?
Did we record last week?
We did.
Last week?
Mm-hmm. We talked about the motorcycle race, about how I almost went off the deep end with the pig being a pain in my butt.
That's right.
Yep.
We didn't record the week we were at the track.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was
thinking.
Yeah.
Nope, that was like 2 weeks ago now.
Seems like many moon.
Many moon. You know, it's weird because sometimes in our relationship it feels like, you know, man, time goes by so slowly with you. And then other times it's like, man, time goes by so you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
Oh, I get it.
I don't know if that made any sense, but.
Kinda.
Like, it feels like 2 weeks ago when we were at the racetrack was a million years ago.
Oh, I agree. And that's what I was trying to get at.
Like, our anniversary was 12 days ago.
Man, it feels way longer.
It feels like forever ago. Because I would venture to say that on our anniversary, we were in a decent place.
Yeah.
Not great. Decent.
Mm-hmm.
But we found bottom.
If we didn't find bottom, it got pretty goddamn close, I suppose.
If that wasn't fucking bottom, I quit.
Okay.
Because I need the it can only go up from here vibe.
It can only go up from here.
You don't sound 100% confident.
I'm sending good vibes to you.
Oh, God. So, last week, Saturday, started like any normal Saturday that I work.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work. Brian went to work in the yard. And it was like right as I was getting off work, shit hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm going to preface this by we're not going to go into detail because we love you, but it's not important to the story.
It's not pertinent.
Thank you. But I will preface it by saying there was no affair. There was no, like, you know, there was nothing of that nature.
But I did kiss the brew a couple times.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to talk about that later.
Okay. The brews are 110-pound Mastiff Great Dane mix. So
I did get a nasty look from that dog when I came back. But any hoodles. A secret came out right when I was getting off work. And for me, it was personally a marriage-ending moment. For me, there was no forgiveness. There was no second chance, third chance, fourth, 155th chance. It was it. I, not only has the last 3 months been extremely trying on us and difficult, but this was like the final nail in the coffin. And like, I meant it.
And it's nobody else's fault but my own. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And so we've had moments similar, I'll say, which is why this one was the end-all be-all. We've had almost the exact same scenario pop up several times in the past, and it was like, if this scenario comes up again, I'm outie. And in the past, when this scenario has come up, I've gone and stayed at my friend's house for a night or two. I've stayed in a different bedroom.
Gotten a hotel.
Brian has stayed in a different bedroom. We have separated in some shape or form for a minimal amount of time.
A couple days, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And we've just had some room and some space. And then we come together and we agree that, okay, we're going to work on this, this, and this, and we're going to not let this happen. Well, for me, this was it. This was the end. I was freaking done. So I went outside, I called my mom, and I was like, my mom lives in Ohio. And I was like, Mom, I need you to get me out of here. I need you to get me out of here now. Now, you may be thinking, and I can think it too, Nicole, you're 32 fucking years old. You have $500 in the bank. You can buy your own goddamn plane ticket. Why are you calling your mother? And I'll be happy to answer that question. Because if I booked the plane, I would cancel it. I know that if I had paid for it myself, I would have that opportunity to cancel it and say, whatever, it was $500. He convinced me to stay, whatever. I didn't want an out. I wanted it to be a, this is really it. There's no going back from this. Like, I've had it, and it was, if my mom buys the plane ticket, I will not back out. I will go. And once my mom knows, it's over. We can, my mom, if you're listening, is laughing because she's thinking about, oh God, 8 years ago when I went over to her house and told her that my husband at the time had an affair on me while I was 9 months pregnant. And I told her, I was like, now that I've told you, it's over. And she was like, yes, so you have to go back now, right? Because you're like, you know, 9 months pregnant and you're going to have to figure this shit out. And I did. And it didn't work. But.
So things are looking up for me. Things are looking up for me, I suppose. She came back. She's not knocked up. So, I mean,
if I was knocked up, one, it would be very concerning, and two, it'd be a miracle. But I would also question who the fuck knocked me up, but...
As would I.
And then that guy has, like, fucking immaculate sperm.
Like, he's got some real winners, dude. Like, he's got some
real... He swam through no tubes and found those eggs.
Yeah. His name's Jesus.
Anyways, so I called my mom. Mom, I need a ticket. My mom freaking dropped everything. She is the champion in this story. And my mom knows, I know, she's not always the champion.
I was going to say, like, it's... Carrie, if you're listening, it's nothing against you. But it's usually like the, come on, Nicole, just freaking calm down a little bit. Like,
or it's the, you know, I've got other shit going on in my life right now. I don't have time for this.
She said it, not me. Okay.
Well, Carrie, I just want to be
listening.
Honest.
You're listening. She said it, not me. Okay.
And my mom knows this. And I think that that's why my mom was like, all right, you need a ticket. It's done. I've got it. She's like, let me call you right back. She called me back. She said, look, I got two. I got one that's going out tonight at 10. I got one that's going out tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I was like, all right. So I'm thinking about two things here. I'm thinking about, I'm going to Ohio and I get to see my kids. If I fly in Sunday morning, I'm going to have less time with my kids. And then if I fly in on... you know, Saturday night, I have more times with my kids because I'll be there Sunday morning. I'll have like all this time, da 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 da. Because the kids are in Ohio at their dad's house. And so it's a bonus for me to get to go to Ohio because I'm going to be able to see the kids. So was that partially like my reasoning? No, but I think subconsciously it was. Like, if I get to go to Ohio and I get to see my kids and I get to get away from him. Right?
Mm.
So I say, Mom, I want to take the 10 o'clock, but here's the caveat. I don't know when I'm coming back. I'm thinking at least a few weeks, maybe months, maybe never, being honest.
No, me too. Honest, me too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Like, me too.
It was, if Brian gets help, I'll come back. If Brian doesn't get help, I'm not coming back. And I can't be a part of it like he needs to do it. So I don't want to drive a car to the airport and leave it there because Brian is one man. And how is Brian going to go to an airport an hour and a half away, get a car, and drive two cars back? It wasn't sheer talent. It wasn't feasible. And even though I was extremely upset with him, I was still a rational. Honestly, with as mad as I was very level-headed.
Yeah, you were. I would say.
And I think that's why.
You were definitely thinking things through in your mental state that you were in.
Right. You know how, like, when you get really mad, sometimes you just fucking black out and you're just, like, screaming and raging and da-da-da? Like, I wasn't.
Now, see, sometimes I get so mad that I actually, like, calm down. Like,
I think that's where it was.
I know for a fact that, like, I'll get so mad and I'll be yelling at somebody or yelling at somebody at work, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I'll just go, you know what, dude? Just calm down.
Whatever.
Like, calm down.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, let's think this through. Let's think the future through. Or the mm-hmm. immediate future, I should say.
Right.
But,
like, my screaming is not getting me anywhere.
Yeah.
Trust me, I did my screaming and my crying, and then I calmed myself down, and then I called my mom. And then I picked the 10 o'clock flight, but I said, hey, mom, because of this concern of how Brian's going to get a car back from the airport, and mind you, where we live, I cannot Uber. It's not an option.
There's no such thing as Uber where we live.
I call his mom. I'm thinking,
oh, God.
Okay. Either she can come get me and take me to the airport, or I can drive a car to her house and she can drive me to the airport. From her house, it's an hour to the airport, maybe less, 45 minutes.
And from our house to her house is about an hour. So I can figure that out with a buddy or something to go.
Or the car is at his parents' house, it's not a big deal. Yep. Like, if he figures it out, his parents could drive it up here.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. they can figure that out, and mm-hmm. it's not a money constraint. Like, mm-hmm. there's not, like, it's not $30 a day to sit and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I call his mom. I'll save you all of the gory details, but essentially, I got my ass chewed out by his mother about how dare I pretend like our marriage is fine. She talked to me 2 weeks ago, and I didn't say anything about our marriage being shit.
Well, because I think, and at the same time, is like, I don't think necessarily on the, obviously, I created the problem on said Saturday, but I don't think in general our marriage is shit, so it's not something that you would, you know, just be, and neither one of us are the kind of people that are going to broadcast to anybody else that like people we personally know of like, hey, mm-hmm. well, we're doing, no, we're both kind of the people that are just like, all right, well, these are our problems. We'll deal with ourselves. Like, don't like whatever.
And I think that that's a sign of a healthy marriage. I think someone who runs to their mom or runs to their best friend every single fight or every single disagreement and does this, I think that's how it creates that negative
connotation.
Yes, because I've had past relationships where I went to my friends and told them every single time that we had a fight or that shit went sideways, and they hated him mm-hmm. because that's all they ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that, like, we go out of our way to tell everyone in podcast land about our problems, but this is a way for us to communicate. This is a therapy session for us. This is a way for us to have a real conversation about our relationship.
And it's honestly, it's a lot easier for me because I don't have to look at any of you guys.
Mm-mm.
I don't have to know what you guys are thinking. And honestly, not being a weirdo or not being a dick, I don't care. My problems are my problems. Our problems are our problems. You guys can think whatever you want, but it makes us feel good to sit here and talk about it.
And it might help someone else understand that your problems are being had by other people.
Yeah.
Maybe there's someone going through the same thing right now.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah.
So I hung up on his mom. I called my mom back. I said, yeah, 10 o'clock tonight will do. I'll figure it out. My phone's blowing up from his mom calling me. I'm ignoring it. And then his Dad calls me. I hung up with my mom. So I answered this phone call from his dad, not because it was his dad, but because I was finally off the phone. Like, I wasn't going to put my mom on hold to answer the phone call of the woman who just chewed me out.
Yeah.
And I pick up and it's his dad, and his dad's like, don't hang up, don't hang up. And they were talking to me very, like, I don't want to say the word derogatory because I feel like that's not the appropriate word, but like talking down to me like I was a small child. Like, you need to just don't hang up. Let's talk about. And I was like, oh, please. But I stayed on the phone. And she's like, I just don't understand why you would have never talked to us about the problems. And I said, the previous conversation? That's why I don't talk to you. And she was like, well, at least let us drive you to the airport. And I'm thinking, okay, because I already told my mom, I was like, fuck him. He can pick the fucking car up at the airport. I don't care. I'll drive. Because I was pissed.
No, I know.
And it wasn't your fault that your mom treated me that way.
No, I know. But it was my fault that we were in the situation to begin
and
with.
And you were going to get punished.
So, you know.
So, anyways, in a last ditch attempt, I texted my very best friend. And I was like, hey, is there any way you could drive me to the airport? Like, I don't really want to talk about it, but this is the Cliff Notes version of what's going on. I'm actually, like, in for the night. So, no. I mean, I can maybe ask my husband, but, like, is it really necessary? Done.
Now I okay.
Done.
So this is the first time I've heard that part of the conversation, and I somewhat understand now.
Yeah. This is a friend that, mind you, has always been a somewhat one-sided friendship. It's always been, come to my house. It's always been, let's do something down here. It's always been, let's come for lunch, but you come to my work and pick me up. It's always been a very one-sided friendship. But I understood it as a one-sided friendship because how far away we live. Okay, I get it. You don't want to drive up here. But this moment made me realize, had she called me, I would have dropped literally everything.
And not being a super weirdo either, because we're both close to them.
Mm-hmm.
I will use the proverbial them, and I probably would have been okay with that. I would have been okay with going, hey, okay, we got to go do this because it's, you know, a thing. You know?
I would have left work for this exact situation. I would have probably left work for a lesser situation for her. I have heard her rabbit died, and I went out of my way to go and make this memorial thing before I went to work one day and dropped it off at her house. And not that I need a pat on my back or whatever, but I can literally, unless I went to her house, count on no fingers how many times she's been there for me.
And as unfortunate as it is, as much as I like said person, I can, honesty sometimes kind of sucks, but I can agree with you on that. Like, I can't sit here and justify other people's actions, and as much as it hurts, I don't want that other person to hurt. If she hears this, whenever she hears it, if she does hear it, but it's honesty. Like, that's mm-hmm. like, that's it. There's no, like, other way to explain it, you know? Sometimes that sucks.
It does. And so on Saturday, I've lost my husband. I've lost my quote-unquote best friend. And I've lost my mother-in-law. Because, being completely honest, yes, when I say it, I can hear how maybe rash of a decision it is.
Irrational.
Sure, but I wasn't thinking irrational, personally. Okay. I was thinking rash, like one thing happened, and really you're already quick. Ready to really, throw it away. Like
really quick. Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, like a quick decision.
No.
But, like, I have zero desire to have a relationship with Brian's family now. And I've had the conversation with Brian of, look, this showed me their true colors. If they didn't want to help me because I'm your wife and they wanted to talk to you first, that's fine. If they didn't want to help me because they didn't want to get in the middle of it, that's fine. Like, those situations are fine. For you to yell at me on the phone in a moment when I called and I said, hey, I need your help. That was my first words to her. Hey, I need your help. It's not okay. And it showed me everything that I needed to know. So now I've lost three relationships in one day based on one situation where I was yet again proven to be alone. Like, nobody was there for me except for my mom. So I got on an airplane Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I flew. Well, okay. So first of all, I got to the airport, I think, at like 6:30. My plane didn't leave till 10. Brian decided that the most genius idea was to get fucking hammered Saturday night.
Yeah, not the greatest idea.
And blow my phone up.
Yeah, not great.
And mind you, I am concerned about him because, you know, he's out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't want him getting in a car. I don't want him doing something stupid while he's drinking. So I'm talking to him. But he starts berating me a little bit because he's drunk. And I was like, hey, don't call me till you're sober. Like, I'm not talking to you tonight anymore. Don't call me. So I sat at the airport from 6:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. when my flight took off, which sucked, by the way. There was no restaurants open. I ended up eating at that Vino wine cafe thing.
Oh, yeah.
I got a, I got a ham and provolone cheese sandwich.
Doesn't sound terrible on the face.
That they put a mayonnaise-y, mustardy, spicy, sesame-y dressing on.
Like highfalutin kind of stuff?
It was $22 for my sandwich.
What?
And it was disgusting.
What do you mean it was $22 for your damn sandwich?
Yeah.
$22? Yeah.
And it was awful. And then I also drank two glasses or three glasses of Pinot Grigio that tasted like butthole, but
that's
honestly,
freaking, it was a $60, $70 bill at that freaking place?
I think it was $75 by the time I left.
Good Lord!
Yeah, it was bad. I did give the person a big tip because I, like, felt bad that, I don't know. That
why'd you feel there, bad?
That I was sitting there for so long. I was there forever. I just needed some place to sit and charge my phone. And there was a charger there. That's why I sat there.
God damn it.
So, I fly from Sacramento to North Carolina, Charlotte. Super random flight. Then Charlotte to Detroit. So, I land in Detroit at, I want to say like 9 a.m.
I was going to say you text me probably 6 or 6:30.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think maybe it landed at 9:30. I got there. There was a hour drive home with my parents. And so, you know, I'm telling my parents what happened. And I told them the honest truth because,
and I would, you know, I would expect nothing less.
Mind you, I don't tell people my business. But at this point, you've paid $500 for me to fly out to Ohio. You probably deserve an explanation of why the fuck I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I had to pack up all of my work things, too.
Mm.
That's another story.
Maybe for another day.
So, I'm telling my parents the story. And my dad's like, well, I mean, but you got to think about it from a man's perspective. And then dad starts telling me dad's perspective. And I'm like, shut up, dad. This is not what I want to hear. I did get mad at him. I was like, you're not listening. You're not understanding the point. And then by Sunday, oh no, this was Sunday.
It was Sunday morning early. Yeah.
By Sunday afternoon, I was like, hey dad, remember when I was mad at you for making your point? You had a valid point, but I don't want to talk about it.
What was his point?
I'll tell you later.
Oh. Okay.
If I tell you, if I say it out loud right now, it'll give away too much.
Okay.
So, and I'm trying to keep a little bit of,
you know. Yeah, a little bit of decency. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Because obviously I didn't. And I will be the honest to God. Yeah, no.
So, and then it brought up kind of like a disagreement between my parents because of something that happened in their past that was similar to what happened to us. And then I was sitting in the back seat like, this is not my intention. My intention was not to start a fight between you two.
I'm new. I'm new.
But honestly, watching them in the car have a disagreement and an argument, and it was beginning and ended within 6 minutes, I was like, that's a good marriage. And like, Mom and Dad, I've always known you've loved each other. But I never thought you guys had
a fantabulous marriage.
Yeah. I always judged you based on things of my childhood, things that had happened. Like, you guys can't really be that happy. Like, they're actually in a fucking great marriage. And it, like, really opened my eyes because there were so many similarities to our marriage. So, we get home.
To your parents' house.
Yep. And I'm like, guys, I'm going to go lay down. Like, I need, like, a little bit of shut-eye. I had texted the kid's dad the night before. He didn't answer me. So, I texted him again this morning and was like, hey, like, can I fucking come get the kids? You know, blah, blah, blah. I was then scolded by him for not giving enough notice.
Well, he's a dipshit.
My own children.
Yeah, he's a dumbass. So. Yeah. I don't care if he listens to that. I really don't. Hey, if you want to get in a fist fight, let's get in a fist fight. Stop.
Nobody's getting in a fist fight.
All right. All right. Sorry. Just had to let that out.
But anyways, I was scolded about how I need to give more notice. And I was like, bro, I just found out last night. Like, please just whatever. Let the kids come over to my mom's house. He's like, okay, cool. I'll drop the kids off at your mom's house. So I tell my parents. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a nap real quick. I know you guys want to go to the grocery store. If you want to go to the grocery store, like, whatever. When the kids get here, you know, I'll, you know, whatever. My mom's like, well, we can take them to the grocery store. I'm like, no. Leave them here. I close my eyes for what feels like a minute and an eternity all in one. Okay. I wake up. And I have the worst panic attack I've ever had in my entire life. I'm crying, I'm screaming, I'm panicking. Nobody is there. My parents had apparently gotten the kids left.
To the grocery store.
To go to the grocery store. Thank you. And I'm trying to calm myself down. And I'm like, why am I freaking out? And like, it all, like my heart physically ached. And it was all of a sudden this realization of like, I shouldn't have left. I shouldn't have left him alone to fight this battle himself. Yes, he made a mistake, but I should be there with him. Like, he's my partner. Like, how can I do this? Like, and if I can give a little backstory, I've been divorced twice. Each time I've left them, I have said to them, I'm packing my stuff. And I'm leaving. And I walk out the front door. And I go to a hotel. Or I go to my parents' house. Or I go to wherever. And that's it. And I've never looked back. And I've never freaked out. And I've never cared. And I know that that sounds shitty. But by the time it's ever gotten to the point that I've walked out, it's been the point of no return. Right? Like, I was already done months ago. And then I had to sit and I had to sit in there and I had to think with myself. I was like, okay, am I freaking out because I'm alone? Am I freaking out because I'm going to have to do life by myself? Am I freaking out because, you know, I just miss him?
Are you freaking out because you just smoked the past 5 years of your life? I mean,
yeah, like that's, what?
I get it.
Like, yeah. What am I freaking out about right now?
Yeah.
And all that I could answer was that you were part of my entire soul. And I
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
And I could not physically be apart from you in like the most. I've tried to explain this to my therapist for like 3 days and I can't explain it. And I've tried to explain it to you and I can't explain it. There was this unreal draw and pain that I had being separated from you. This was the first time I had ever left. And I think it's because in my heart of hearts, it was the first time I'd ever left and I meant it. And I meant it as forever I was done. I meant it. And I packed my things and I moved halfway, actually, pretty much all the way back across country. Mm-hmm. And the whole trip, I was, okay, I'll stay with my parents for a few weeks. It'll help me find an apartment. My paycheck is more than enough to afford housing in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to see the kids more. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe next summer, Dad can, you know, help me get some stuff out of California. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, this is the easiest new setup you've ever had. Like, you have the best paying job you've had. Like, you're dialed, right?
Mm-hmm. I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there for the other two. I was only there for one.
And there was this just gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, I can't be away from you. I need to be there with you. We need to work this out, and we will work this out. And you are my forever. And I went downstairs. Well, first the kids came over and I was upstairs hiding in the bathroom. And my mom told the kids to go upstairs real quick and check their rooms. And they all came upstairs. All three of them are, you know, doing what grandma said.
Four?
Well, three of them are doing what grandma said, looking in the room. One of them decided to go play.
I know which one that is. Uh-huh. Is that the Eddie Munster looking one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I pop out of the bathroom and I was like, well, what are we looking for? Oh my gosh. And my oldest started bawling her eyes out, which was not healthy for me either, because now I'm bawling like a baby. And everybody was very excited and we had a great day. We had, you know, dinner. We had dessert together. We watched NASCAR race. We played.
You watched some NASCAR?
And we had fun. But shortly after the kids got there, I went in the kitchen because my mom was making a chocolate cream pie.
Oh.
It was so good. We ate the whole pie. None left. Huh. Didn't even save you a piece, babe.
God damn it.
And I was like, Mom, I have to go back. Mind you, this was a difficult conversation for me because one of two situations was going to arise.
Your mom's going to lose her shit.
Mom's going to lose her shit because she just spent $500 to fly her daughter out here and you're fucking telling me that you need to leave. Like, I fucked up. I shouldn't have flown you out here. Mm. Or two is going to happen where mom's going to say, okay. But number two is not really an option for my mom. In my mind, in my world, that's not an option for mom.
And honestly, from what I've understood, didn't sound like an option. Doesn't even sound like it's on the freaking table. Doesn't even sound like it's in the same house.
And mom goes, okay, I'll look up a flight for you. And I was like, what the fuck is, who the fuck swapped my mother for this fucking amazing being? Because, like, I don't know what's happening right now. Like, I don't understand how to have, like, this kindness right now. Like, it was just, It was everything that I needed. She was a godsend. Like, that. If nothing else in my life ever goes well, like, this was the moment that my mother became my hero. Like, this whole 24-hour period. And I ended up telling her, no, I'll book the flight home. 'Cause I wanted to go home yesterday. Like, I wanted the flight that was leaving now. So I picked the flight that got home at midnight on Sunday. Mind you, 26 hours rough. After I left.
Yeah, rough.
And the flight ended up leaving Detroit at 8 p.m., so I was able to have the kids, you know, up until, like, 6. I guess we had them until, like, 5, dropped them off or whatever, because they had school the next morning, any hoodles. So it all worked out. But I did. I, like, took my mom into, you know, privacy, and I was like, Mom, like, I know that on the face, this probably looks like you fucked up. Like, man, I shouldn't have flown her out here. Like, all she needed was a day. And I was like, but you saved my marriage. Because had I stayed in California, had I slept in a different room, had I gone to my friend's house, had I gone to his parents' house, had I gone to a hotel, had we slept in different rooms, I was going to hate him. I was going to hate him, and this was going to boil, and this was going to explode another day, another way, worse. I needed the actual physical space, the 3,000 miles of space between us, for me to feel that magnetic pull of, like, you have to go back. And I wholeheartedly believe that if my mom had not flown me out to Ohio, had I not gone to Ohio, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
And that to me is it's a little weird to me. Like, not, obviously I'm grateful. Thank you. I'm grateful. Grateful. It's hard for me to explain, but it's odd for me, just in my stupid little brain.
Stop it.
That I have that kind of pull over something. Because to me, in my brain, in my physical being, I don't do anything special. I'm not that great of a person. In my little brain, like, so that's why it's hard for me to, like, wrap around. And please don't think that I'm not grateful, and that I didn't miss you, and that I, you know, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, okay, well, you effed up for the last time, and freaking tough shit, now you're gonna have to deal with it, is basically what I got to the conclusion of.
Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying. And I, first of all, I'll address that you are amazing and that you have a ton of amazing qualities. And do you fuck up sometimes? Absolutely. Am I a psychopathic bitch most times? Absolutely. But we balance each other out for the better. And if I could explain to anyone what I felt, it could be life-changing. Like, I know what true love is now. I know what soulmates are.
And I'm yours? That's weird to me. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to bullshit you. Like, that's weird. Like, what? I get up, go to work, freaking come home, want to work on stupid shit in the yard, ride my dirt bike, freaking drink a couple beers. Like, that's me in a synopsis. Like, that's the way I look at myself, I guess.
And, like, none of those things I love.
and that's what I'm trying to figure out, because in my brain, that's all I do. That's what I do. I just get up, go to work, freaking, okay, got to come home, work on my dirt bike, or freaking go work on a car, or clean something up in the yard, have a couple beers, freaking sit down, go to sleep, rest, repeat. You know what I mean?
But you're more than all of those things.
But see, I don't think so.
And maybe that's a problem.
It probably is. It probably is.
I mean, it's kind of like yesterday when you said something. We were doing these, like, couple reconnection cards. And one of them was like, how would you like your spouse to be more independent?
Oh,
and he
God. Mentioned
something about me going to hang out with my
friends.
Oh,
God.
And I just started bawling giant baby, because, like, he didn't 100% understand or know to what extent I had lost my best friend, you know, and like the fact that like I don't have anyone to rely on, and it sucks ass. And is it something that I need to work on? Probably. Is it top on my priority list? Not really, but I'll work on it. And I don't know what my point was with all of that, but like, I do finally understand what it means when it's your soulmate. And I have, my parents have gone through things in the past in their relationship, and I've talked to my mom, you know, like, I don't understand why you would stay if XYZ happened, or like why you'd put up with XYZ. And I think I've had similar conversations with my dad, like, why would you stay with mom if she's going to do XYZ? And their answers are always the same. And it's because, you know, she's the one, because he's the one, because, you know, that's my soulmate. And I've always been like, fuck that. Like, no, like, someone hurts you, like, you fucking walk away. Like, that's...
Or you kick him in the nuts and maybe go to jail or something, you know?
I mean, and walk whatever. Away.
Yeah.
And that insane feeling that I felt was... Yeah. Just the universe... letting me know that, no, this one's not going to be easy to walk away from, because you're not meant to walk away from him. And I'll have to read you what my therapist sent me, because I do this Talkspace thing where you type to a therapist. It's, like, great, because I don't really like face-to-face interactions. And I typed up to the best... I had actually typed it up on the plane. I'll have to let you read it. On the way back.
Okay. Long story short, guys, okay, in case you haven't...
I came back.
in case you guys haven't picked that up yet. Yeah.
I did say I flew back and you picked me up at midnight.
Did you?
Yeah. 26 hours later?
Yeah. Something about that.
I don't know that I ever confirmed that I came back, yeah. But I'm
anyway,
here.
Anyway, we're here.
Whee! But my therapist was like... She said something along the lines of, like, I literally felt it when I read what you wrote, like, I felt that, like, in the deep of my, you know what I mean? So I was like, well, at least somebody understands what I'm saying. So Brian and I decide that we're going to go to therapy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, mind you, we tried couples therapy earlier, which...
is actually when the podcast started.
It was, actually. And it was great for a minute.
Yeah.
But see, and it was kind of our fault too, is because, and nothing against the therapist or whatever. God knows she probably doesn't listen, but whatever. But she was, for lack of a better term, amateur hour. She was doing her internship kind of thing. Like, you know.
And it was like $20 a session. So that should tell you.
So, yeah. So it was hella cheap. And we were like, okay, let's try it out. But I equated it now to like, well, do I want the apprentice putting a quarter panel on my car, or do I want the full journeyman doing it? You know?
And that was when we actually came up with the idea of just doing kind of our podcast and talking once a week, because what we would do in the therapy session is she would be like, okay, why don't you tell each other how you feel about what happened this week. Yeah. And we spent 90% of the time just talking to each other.
And then we'd friggin' rattle off whatever pissed me off that week, or whatever pissed you off that week. And then, you know, be like, oh, okay, this is how you feel. Okay, okay. And with very limited input from...
She may have said 10 words.
Yeah, from very limited input.
Yeah.
It was more of a, okay, we have to be here at 6 o'clock on, what was it, Friday?
It was Wednesday.
Was it Wednesday?
Was it Wednesdays or Thursdays? Maybe it was Thursdays, and that's why you picked Thursdays.
It might have been.
Anyways.
Anyway, it was more of a, you have to be at a certain spot together at a certain time and have this third person there, quote-unquote, talking to you.
It was pretty much just monitored communication.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I signed up for therapy. I paid for 10 weeks in advance because I saved like 50%, so it was like $500, whatever. Yeah. We sit down for our first therapy session last night. Dude comes on. Mind you, I picked this program because of the specific therapist. I wanted this therapist. And after talking with him, you got to admit he would have been a good fit.
Yeah, he probably would have.
You got to admit he'd have been a good fit. He comes on, he goes, Hey, guys. So I know this is probably super disappointing, but I'm completely booked. I can't take on another
client. What do you say? This is my retirement job. Yeah.
This is my retirement plan.
Which was funny to me just because, like, this dude's just kind of, like, doing it probably to keep him away from his old lady or something, like, do something, like, different or whatever, you know, some kind of other thing. Like, it's his version of hanging out in the garage, okay? Right. And he's like, okay, well, the garage is getting too overwhelming now, dude. Like, there's too many people in the garage.
So he was like, yeah, so I can't take you on as client. I wanted to come on and tell you personally because, like, I didn't want to leave you hanging. But, like, I've messaged the company to let them know not to charge you for this, blah, blah, blah. Mind you, it's now been 2 days. I still haven't heard back from the company. I haven't gotten a refund. I haven't gotten assigned a new therapist. I can't schedule any appointments with a new therapist because they have to release me from the old therapist. I'm not real super pleased or happy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let it go. We're doing our therapy session tonight. Mm-hmm. So it's been rough. And then we talked about, okay. So my therapist, she was like, so...
Your personal therapist.
My personal therapist. Yep. Was like, so things seem to have been going really well. And then you talk about 2 to 3 months ago, everything took a shit. Like, what changed? And I was like typing up my answer and I was like, I can pinpoint it to a day in June when our transfer failed or...
Our scheduled transfer was not...
transfer was canceled.
Yes.
And our whole life completely changed. Whether you or I consciously knew about it or not.
That's what I was going to say is I don't think either one of us had any animosity towards each other at all. Mm-hmm. But I think subconsciously... Like, you know, not thinking about it, habits changed. Mm-hmm. And habits changed not for the better.
Yep.
For a digression in our relationship, I would say.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of us purposely did it. Mm-mm. But I think...
Even really knew that we were doing it.
Exactly. And I think in the back of our mind, both of us, and I might just be speaking for myself, but I'm like, all right, well... We're 30K into this, and what's gonna happen? Like, what are we gonna? And these are all things that are out of our control. I mean, obviously, everything, the transfer getting rescheduled, everything is out of our control. It's totally out of our control, and there's not a goddamn thing any of us could do about it. But you're still sitting back, going, well. What? How do we fix this? How do I fix this? And I think the fix it in me manifested itself in a bad, a regressive situation, like not being positive, being more negative, being you know what I mean.
Both of us pulling back a little bit, being a little more repressed.
Yeah.
And then we found out that I had a cyst, and to this moment, I still have not had a period since June.
Which is, I'm glad we're talking about it, but at the same time, I know it's not your fault, but at the same time, I'm like, well, okay, what? I guess my biggest thing is, what do we do next? Like, how do we move forward? Because that's my MO on life is, okay... Some's effed up. How do I fix it? How do I move forward? Do I need to pay somebody? Mm-hmm. Do I need to have somebody come out? Do I need to do more research? Do I need to figure out how to fix it? How do I fix it?
I think that's the most frustrating part for both of us is we're literally, we can't do anything.
And that absolutely drives me freaking bonkers, dude. Like, I don't have the solution. I don't have an idea for the solution. I don't...
And even if you had the solution, it's not like we can do anything about it. Even exactly. If you knew exactly what needs to happen, we can't do it. Like, we can't force it.
No. And then it's... And anyway, long story short is I think that
manifested in both of us in not a positive fashion.
Correct.
We were both on edge with each other.
Yep.
And I would still say that we're still kind of rebuilding from that a little bit.
Of course. And I think that the fact that we're addressing that that's part of the issue is helping. I think that the day that I took the nursery down helped.
Yeah.
Because for 10 months, I would walk into the nursery and get excited. Well, I should say for maybe 9 months. And then in June, I would walk into the nursery and I would cry.
Yeah, because you felt like you just got shit on for your life. Like, just everything just shit on you.
And I think my therapist said it best. Like, it's still a loss. You're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to go through the stages of grief. Even though we didn't lose an embryo or an actual quote-unquote life, it was still a loss. We were both expecting to be pregnant right now.
And so...
And if we're being honest, from when we started IVF, I expected to have a goddamn baby in my hands right now. It's been a year.
That's very true. That's very true. You were on the mentally expedited process.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's... And this is probably why I need to talk to somebody too. But for me, I don't necessarily... whatever. I just go, whatever. You know? But in not the part of my brain that I think with all the time, obviously it's...
Negatively affected you in some way.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
It's sitting there, like, you know, like not in a great way.
Yeah.
You know?
So, obviously, this is all a work in progress.
Which, obviously, you guys, too, the four people... that listen to us. I'm not trying to sound too prophetic or nothing, but life is a work in progress, just in general. Like, you're going to get faced with shit that you don't think you should be faced with, but guess what? That's your situation, and you're going to have to figure out how to navigate that with your partner. And if you don't have a partner, you're going to have to figure out how to navigate that with yourself. And that's a hard thing to, because there's nobody, when it comes to your personal life as you, as an individual, even when you're with a partner, there's nothing, it's sort of a, it's a personal struggle either way, whether you have a partner, whether you have a great support system or not, like that, it's still a big personal thing that you have to figure out yourself. There's no silver bullet that's going to fix all your problems and everybody's going to be happy and you're going to be happy and everything's good. You have to work through that yourself and figure that out. And I think that's a big part of life, which I'm not that I'm not that I'm old. But, you know, that I've been learning over, you know, the past 35 years, 40 years on this planet, is that you have to figure stuff out for yourself, first of all, and then you can approach different situations with other people. Not, once you're okay with yourself, you're fine. But you need to be okay with that. Not everything's going to be perfect in your life as far as that goes. I know I'm rambling now, but
I mean, I would say that based on you and I right now, we're in a good place. I wouldn't say we're in a great place. I wouldn't say that we're fixed. I wouldn't say that we're on the straight and narrow, like, great. Like, that's why we need couples therapy now. You know, we need to get back to where we were in May. You know, we need to get back to where we were with our communication and our openness and.
And I guess that's the super hard part, is that when you're trying to work on yourself, which for me personally, I don't consciously do it. It's kind of in the back of my mind. Like, but when you're quote unquote working on yourself and then having to deal with another person that you're so close to, if you're in a relationship,
that just adds another like level of difficulty mm-hmm. almost a little bit. Because you're trying to fix your shit. Meanwhile, the person that you're with that you deeply care about is trying to fix their shit, and then you guys have communal shit that you guys are trying to fix. You know, it's just a big shit show, really. When you think about it, it's just a big shit show.
It really is.
You know? I mean, it's just, there's no... And I think that's kind of what I've learned a little bit, you know? It's like, you just gotta freaking figure it out. Do it.
Yeah. Completely. And right now, I'm sure you guys are curious as far as what's going to happen with IVF, and I don't think we have answers right now.
I think both of us are curious, actually.
So,
to be honest with you, it's because we've talked about putting it on hold. We've talked about expediting it. We've talked about a few options that we have.
Nope.
And it's...
Only time is going to tell, I think.
And neither option... Or any option is not the correct answer. There's mm-hmm. there's pros and cons to each one.
Yep.
And the sooner that we understand it, then...
And I think for me, it's like, I'm going to take the pressure off, and I'm going to just let it be as it is, and we'll figure it out as we go, and we'll go with the flow, instead of me just constantly worrying and fretting about it. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's just tough. It's a tough situation, and anybody who's on the IVF journey that is even close to similar as we are on, you guys can understand what we're going through, because it's not, you know, just because you pony up the cash and you know, you got freaking...
You can have all the money in the world, but don't mean it's going to happen.
You got freaking embryos, and you got freaking whatever. Like, it don't matter, dude. If the shit's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, then, I mean,
yep.
Whatever. It is what it is.
Yep.
So.
Well, if you want to send us any memos or any additional insights, you can give us a call. You can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message at 304-806-BABY. You can email us at nowyouwantababy@gmail.com, or you can follow us on TikTok or Instagram at nowyouwantababy. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. So, Now You Want a Baby, I'm Nicole.
I'm Brian. I'm out of beer.
See you next week.